Welcome into Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here, and we have our special guest with us today, Chris Godwin. Thanks for being with us, Chris.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We picked a really good week to do this because yes. It looks like this is going to be your first real extended opportunity to play a lot on offense, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's something I'm really excited about, too. You know, I'm really excited to get the opportunity to show what I have.
Yeah, you never want to see one of your teammates get injured, mm-hmm. or in this case, it's a suspension. But yeah. You got to approach it that way. Like, this is my first real opportunity.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
You gotta seize it.
Exactly. And like you said, it's a shame what happened, why Mike's not playing. But, you know, it's an opportunity, like Coach always says, to really step up and show what you got.
So have you done things differently this week so far in terms of the way you were wanting to prep? Or is it just you've always been trying to prep as if you were going to play a ton?
I mean, for me, it's always just been, prepare as if I'm the starter. Mm-hmm. And so in this situation, it's nothing really different for me. It's just now – my mentality going into the game is, all right, I'm going to get more reps, just try to take advantage.
But up to this point, didn't you sort of have to learn all the jobs, like the X and the Z in the slot, because mm-hmm. They were going to use you whoever wasn't available, or to give them a break in a game or something?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that was kind of like my things. I had to learn all three receiver positions, just so that if anybody got tired or if anybody went down, I was the guy to go in.
I always have to figure it out again every time I think about it. X is more like what Mike plays, right?
Yeah, Mike would be X.
And so that's where you might get more playing time this week.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are the different challenges and styles that those different positions play, and how might it make it easier maybe for you to really be focusing on one this week?
Yeah, I mean, just with each position, obviously, there are, its own challenges. You know, there's different routes that each position plays and runs. And, the slot is definitely, which is what Adam plays. It's a lot different from the outside guys. But the two outside guys are, rather similar. So just for me to be able to focus on one spot, I think it's going to be beneficial for me.
During the season so far, you've just had opportunities here and there to fill in for guys. But during training camp, it was like we heard your name every day.
Yeah.
So obviously, I'm sure you know, you had a very public, very good training camp. Everybody kept hearing about you every mm-hmm. day. And what Coach would say all the time is he looks like a veteran. I mean, this guy has been in the NFL for 3 months. So where do you think that came from? Because not every guy steps in and does that.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think it's just kind of how I approach the game. You know, I've been fortunate enough to have some really, some really good coaches, some really good teammates over the course of my career. So I just do my best to really just try to learn as much as I can from those guys. And then at whatever level I'm at, to just try to apply those things. So when I got here, my main mentality was just learn, just sit back and kind of be quiet and just take everything I can from the guys around me. Mm-hmm. So I got in here, started learning from D-Jack, started learning from Mike and Hump, but just see what they do well, and I tried to apply that to my game.
And it's one thing to be acting like a vet on the field, but I've heard the coaches and everyone talk about how you're like that off the field as well, that they can't believe your maturity and that you don't seem like a guy that's as young as he is or just in the league. So what do you think has led to that, where it's not even just your ability to learn football-wise, but just who you are as a person for people who don't know you that got you to this point?
Yeah, I think for in that regard, that's a credit to my parents, just how they raised me, just being a good guy, just being responsible for your actions, and that's kind of something I've really, hung my hat on growing up, is just, like I said, being responsible, doing the right thing, being a guy, with moral standards.
You know that you had to be that to convince your high school football coach to let you date his daughter?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I would definitely say that.
I think that seems probably the highest recommendation you can get is the high school football coach who knows you at practice and in a locker room and around town to say, yeah, I trust you with my daughter. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of the cliche, coaches say, guys, so he's a good guy. I let him date my daughter, and in this case,
he had to put his money where his mouth was.
Tell us a little bit about your draft experience, because you had a really great career at Penn State, mm-hmm. But I think this was just an absolutely loaded receiver class, and teams knew they could still get a really good receiver in the second and third round. Mm-hmm. Did that make it tougher for you, or did it really bother you at all? Because in another year, you probably would have gone in a higher round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was interesting, just because, like you said, we had a little bit more of a deeper receiver class. Mm-hmm. Maybe not so much at the top, but, like you said, teams knew that they can get quality receivers, a little bit further down in the draft. And so that kind of made the draft itself, when everything was going, a bit long. But mm-hmm. I'm a guy that believes that, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Okay. God has a plan for me, and the plan was for me to be here and for me to be drafted where I am. All I can really do is control what I do day in and day out.
Did you go to the combine?
Yeah, I did.
Did you do well there?
Yeah, I think I did pretty well. I ran a good 40 time.
For you guys, that's the biggest
thing.
Yeah,
exactly. I ran a good 40 time, did pretty good on the rest of the stuff, too.
Cool.
And what was it like getting to come in as a rookie to be playing with someone like Jameis, and then how has it been adjusting to multiple quarterbacks your rookie year, throwing mm-hmm. that into the mix of having to learn everything on top of that.
Yeah, I think when I first got here, it was pretty cool, like, getting to know Jameis and just seeing how he is up close and personal, you know, because, like, you see, you know, how he is as a leader from the outside, and you think, you know, he can't really be like that, you know, all the time, but he really is, you know, mm-hmm. he's that charismatic, you know, he's like that all the time, and, you know, it's a testament to him and just how he was raised and how he's built. And so when I came in, I was just kind of learning from him, just his leadership style, and then having to adjust to, you know, catching from different quarterbacks is just something you have to really, you know, take in as a receiver. You know, it doesn't really matter who's throwing you the ball. When it comes your way, you got to make the play.
I mean, the guy stepping in has started 116 games already in his yeah. career, so including a lot recently.
I think he might have been in middle school when you were born. Yeah. Something like that.
So you got to get, I assume you guys have a lot of confidence in Ryan.
Yeah, we have a ton of confidence in Ryan and what he and his ability and what he brings. You know, like you said, he started 116 games, yeah. you know, so he's seen it all. And we kind of know that going in. You know, we have, like I said, all the confidence in the world in him.
At this point, I'm sorry, go ahead, Casey.
How much do you look forward to that first time that you are going to get a touchdown? And how much have you thought about it and planned what's going to happen at that point? You don't seem like a flashy guy, yeah. but I get the feeling that everyone has thought about it, planned it sure. out, and maybe the celebration rules being a little bit more relaxed are their thoughts here.
Yeah, I'm definitely not a flashy guy. Yeah. You know? So I'm more of a guy that, like, just I'm just excited about, you know, that first opportunity, like, whenever it does come. But I have thought about that, like, I would say every single week. You yeah. know, every single week I'm like, all right, like this is the week I'm gonna get in and just, like, kind of get that monkey off my back. But I'm patient with it. I know it'll come in time.
How about waiting for you guys to do a group one, like, a group, yeah. like Detroit and some of them? Done.
Yeah. We've been talking about oh, it yeah? a little bit. You know, so hopefully.
Well, don't tell us what it is.
Yeah.
I'm glad
not,
to hear
I'm not
that.
Spoil oh, yeah. any surprises.
He knows better than to divulge those secrets.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of
so
I guess we should. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think when the right time comes, you know, I think we'll have a real, like, something good for
us. Oh, good. Fans. I guess we got a minute left, but we should talk about the Jets a little bit.
Maybe right? a little bit.
They have two rookies starting in their secondary, both yeah. safeties. So what can you tell us now? You've seen film all year about, I mean, all week about their corners and safeties.
Yeah, I mean, their secondary, they do a really good job. You know, obviously, like you said, the two rookies in the back end. I actually I trained with Marcus May, like, training for the combine, oh, okay. so I'm kind of familiar with him. And then obviously Jamal Adams, he's a really explosive player. He's a really good young player. So, like I said, they do a really good job, and, you know, it's going to be a challenge for us.
You must have played against Jamal Adams, right, in college?
No, actually didn't
really?
Get a chance. Yeah. We he played in the SEC and I was a Big Ten, so we didn't really.
Okay, I got the wrong guy then. I was thinking that was
that's
Ohio
interesting.
State guy.
Yeah, that's yeah. so funny. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Good luck yeah. this Sunday. We'll be anxiously waiting to see that first touchdown whenever that finally comes here for you to see if there's any non-flashy celebration that happens.
Yeah.
All right, that's awesome.
It.
We still have two more segments coming up. One's getting to your Twitter questions. Use that hashtag BucksLive, and we'll be right back.
Takes the snap, looks to his right, look, crossing route, throw, caught ball, touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hit the backdrop. It's a Lavonte David quarterback sack, his second of the game.
Let's make it count. We're past the 50, okay?
Big Winston looking. James is going to run to the left of the 10. He throws to the inside. Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Attack, technique, and takeaways. Got it?
It's picked off. Intercepted to the 30, to the 25, to the 20. Quan Alexander will take it to the house. Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Welcome back to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here, and we just had Chris Godwin on, rookie, who's definitely going to be getting some extended playing time this Sunday with Mike Evans being suspended. And what a great kid. I mean, just it's incredible how young he is and that he's a rookie, and you just would never think that talking to him, watching him play, it's amazing.
And that bodes well for this first. It might even be a start.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Bucs aren't going to say exactly what they're going to do, but with Mike Evans not playing, I still think they're going to leave Adam Humphries in the slot. Mm-hmm. That's his job for the whole game, and they'll start Chris Godwin in his spot.
Which makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's going to get a lot of playing time.
That's very true. So, looking at our offense against the Jets defense, I think that's the matchup that a lot of people are really looking forward to seeing. The Jets defense seems to have coalesced a lot recently.
Very good.
But thank you. Every time I can work in a big word.
Is that your calendar word of the day?
That is my word of the day, you know. They seem to be having so much fun with their defense, too. They're dancing between plays, and it just seems like everything's clicking for that defense, kind of at the wrong time for us.
Well, they're also just doing their offense a real solid by they keep intercepting passes and returning them into the other side of the field. They've had just they've loose balls. I think they've forced like 16 fumbles. They recovered like 7 of them, but they're getting the ball out a lot. And so their offense has, and I mentioned this, I think, in the last show, their offense has more drives starting on the other side of the field, on the other side of the 50, than any other team in the league. So as much as you can say that the Jets offense, I know you want to talk about defense, but as much as you can say about the Jets offense being surprisingly good this year, they've also been put in a really good position.
Right.
Complimentary football that this team, the Buccaneers, wants to play. As for the defense, the part that was really coalesced is the secondary. And we were talking to Chris about it. They used their first pick and their second pick both on safeties, and they threw them immediately in the lineup. They just completely remade the back of their defense. And Jamal Adams, who went to LSU, not Ohio State, is the kind of guy that moves around a lot more, is near the line of scrimmage more often, comes up and is the eighth man in the box, is a real good hitter. He's a real good player all around. Everybody loved this guy in the draft. Coach Cutter was telling me, like, everybody wanted this guy.
Right.
And then the second guy, Marcus May, is more of your center fielder, usually plays deeper, and he's already got 2 picks. So those two guys, I asked Coach about that this week, and those two guys, he said, I said, okay, you got a quarterback that's started 116 NFL games going against two safeties who have a combined 18 starts.
Right.
I mean, that's on paper you'd think you got a chance there for the experience gap to maybe, confuse them a little bit.
Right.
But apparently those guys are playing like veterans already, so it's not quite the advantage as you would think.
Right, yeah, that's very true. And knowing that they have taken it away so much, especially recently, do you see, again, we've talked about this before, but the idea of knowing that a team is good at that, does it change your game plan, or do you just say, we just have to be on our P's and Q's?
I actually asked Coach a little bit about that, and he, it's the second thing you said. You know what guys can do and what their tendencies are, and you plan to try to stop, especially what they always call the game wreckers.
Mm-hmm.
But you just really have to execute. It's been the word everybody's been saying this week. And when I asked Coach about that, he said the two guys you worry about first are the two ends in their 3-4 front, Leonard Williams and Muhammad Wilkerson. Those are the guys that we have to contain. And, it's funny because we're playing a 3-4 team this week, but Coach Cutter was sort of educating everybody a little earlier this week about how you really hardly face any 3-4.
Yeah, it's
not really 3-4. It's just, it looks to us like our 4-3, there's a 4-3 under and there's a 4-3 over, and it looks like our 4-3 under. It's just that the linebackers are serving as that fourth guy up on the line.
Right, which is
so,
an interesting point.
Yeah, I think this, you used to have a lot of teams that played a real true 3-4, like a Pittsburgh Steelers 3-4, 10, 15 years ago. I remember even when we were a good team that was making the playoffs every year, we would really struggle to protect the quarterback against those 3-4 teams because it's just a different look, and you don't know where the rushers are coming from. But I think Coach says there's not a lot of teams playing a true 3-4 anymore, so you don't have to worry about that quite as much. But you still need to contain these two, what you would call ends, but they really play more like 3 technique tackles.
Interesting. Yeah, that is an interesting point. So looking, again, we brought up a little bit earlier, but the Jets offense has been surprisingly
good. Yeah. Well, Josh McCown's been great.
Yeah, he really has. It seems like, a lot of people are saying this would be the best year of his career so far, especially the most complete, for sure.
Yeah, he has never started 16 games in a season, but it certainly looks like he's on his way now.
He might do that.
Except for the fact that he's also fearless, and some of the times he's gotten hurt in recent years.
Feels like he's an inch away from death.
when he got hurt, he started the season in Cleveland in 2015, I think, and it was against the Jets. And he got hurt on the, at the end of the first drive trying to score this amazing 15-yard touchdown run. And it's, he's a really hard-nosed guy that, that fights for every yard. So, you know, crossing our fingers that Josh can make it through 16 games because he's a great guy and you want to root for him.
Absolutely.
You'd like to see him have a poor game this week.
Right, yes. Just one. That's all we ask.
But
just
he's
one.
Yeah, but he's some of the players are pointing out that he really is doing a good job of using all of his weapons. So
yes.
You don't have it's not like every pass is going to the Brandon Marshall, who's not even there anymore. It's Robbie Anderson is their big threat, but they get it to, you know, Austin Sphere and Jenkins,
all their
running backs, and they really spread it around a lot. Although they did lose one of their receivers, Jeremy Curley, to a suspension. So
that's true, and he's playing a very safe strategy. It seems like, I mean, that's part of why his completion percentage is so high.
Yeah,
that when you just look at that and say that. They're obviously trying to make sure that he is in a position to succeed, where it is lower risk passes, and they're not throwing bombs down the field a ton. It doesn't seem like so. Knowing that they're going to be playing sort of a safe game, what does that mean for what our defense is going to need?
I think that means you need to be aggressive. So you need to create those turnover opportunities. If a team's playing a more aggressive type passing game, sometimes they're giving you opportunities for turnovers. You know, if they're trying to push it down the field, but if they're throwing a lot of safer, quicker passes, then I think your defensive backs have to play and linebackers have to play a lot more aggressively to try to create those opportunities.
That's a very good point. And so looking at that, obviously seems timing-wise to work out well because Vernon Hargraves, we saw, definitely had seemed to play more aggressive recently. And so that seems like this could be a good time to have to play that sort of defense. Would you agree?
Yeah, and Brent Grimes could be back. He practiced fully on Thursday. He's missed two games with a shoulder injury, and we haven't seen the injury report yet today, so we can't officially say if he practiced fully or not. But he did practice, and usually you don't go forward on the injury report and then back.
And then backwards.
So we can probably guess that he had another full practice today, and if he practiced fully on Thursday and Friday, I would say that's a pretty good shot he's going to play.
Yep.
Now, on the other hand, Robert McClain started practice fine on Thursday but was on the injury report by the end of it, due to a hamstring injury, and I'm not sure, it hasn't been reported yet, but if he didn't practice today, he could be out. So you end up with the same number of guys.
Right, yeah.
And just that secondary
keeps swapping.
But it does kind of uncomplicate things a little bit because I wasn't sure exactly how they were going to arrange those four cornerbacks into those three jobs.
Yeah, that's very true. And the young guys have done a good job of stepping up recently. So even if he is out, people have to feel pretty good about that. So looking at the other guys, again, we haven't gotten the injury report yet, but unfortunately this does seem like a week that it's not like the others where they've been so concentrated at one position like it was at corner potentially, but that there are several guys that have been on the injury report in and out this week. So it looks like it could be pretty damaging in terms of just sheer numbers amount of guys.
Yeah, but there was good news today because both starting tackles, Damar Dotson and Donovan Smith, who had not practiced the first 2 days, did practice today, and defensive end Robert Ayers practiced. And that's kind of a big one because even though you don't necessarily have a lot of new injuries all at defensive end, they've sort of built up as the season because we already lost Noah Spence.
Right.
Jackie Smith's return never really came to fruition, and now Will Golston's out for at least this week. Actually, the Will Golston stuff is, the fact he's not playing is bad, but it's really fantastic news.
Yeah, we were very concerned that it was going to be a lot more than just worrying about a football injury situation.
Yeah, so that's all great. He's been going to meetings all week. He was out there at practice watching today, so it looks like that's not going to be anything long-term.
Yeah, and he's in really great spirits about it, too. I saw him in the hallway the other day, and he's got, like, a neck brace on that he's got, but he had his sweatshirt up covering it, and he was like, I don't want to look like a gimp over here.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, he's laughing about it, so I thought that was pretty good to see that he's able to joke about it and laugh.
He wasn't wearing that neck brace out of practice day, which the reporters noticed, so they asked Coach about it, like, oh, that's another good sign, move forward. And Coach says, well, I think he maybe was supposed to be wearing it.
Yeah, he's just getting tired of it.
Says the point of the neck brace is when you have that injury, you get neck spasms, and that's supposed to help with that. So maybe he's just feeling good and figured
he
gets down out of practice for 90 minutes.
Which would be great. We definitely are excited to hear that that is not nearly as bad as we thought.
But, yes, you do sort of have some injuries piling up at defensive end, so Ryan Russell probably play more. This could be the first game that Daryl Tapp is active. So you get some new guys trying to get in the mix there or try to get any sort of edge rush going.
We'll see if our good luck on our show carries over to Daryl Tapp since he didn't technically play last week.
The next game he plays
is what we meant to say. All right, we still have one more segment coming up. We're going to get to your Twitter questions, so keep sending those in. Use that hashtag BucksLive. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks know how to shine. Hey, Give a cheer for the Buccaneers. Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Hey, hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucs know how to shine.
Hey, hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucs know how to shine. Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Go Bucs!
Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Stand up.
Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Go Bucs!
Because we know we're on the top.
We stand up!
Welcome back into Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. Time for our final segment, getting to your Twitter questions. Keep sending those in. Use that hashtag BucsLive. All right, our first one comes from Doug, and I love it because he used our word of the day.
Hey, you're teaching people.
I'm teaching
you're
people.
You're teaching people.
Coalesce. He said, would it be fair to expect a big game from D-Jax since the coaching staff feels that he has finally coalesced with the offensive scheme?
Did he spell it right? Coalesced?
I have no idea. I may know how to use the word, but
very
I can't
nice,
spell
Doug.
The word.
He spelled it right.
My spelling is literally the worst. This is why I'm a broadcaster. I say words. I don't write words.
Yeah.
D-Jax,
well, there's
big
spell
game.
Check. Yeah. Here's the thing about D-Jax here. There's two shades to this. He's right that both Coach Monken and Coach Cutter have said this week that D-Jax's last couple games were his best so far, even though you don't really see it on the stat page. Like in the last game, I think he had two catches for 25 yards, but it's because we were missing him. You know, so apparently he's become much more consistent on a snap-to-snap basis in his route running. And you'd expect that to happen with the guy who's been in the league so long. You know, he's learning the offense
right.
better and all that. So, you know, a receiver, especially a guy who's made a career of big numbers and big plays, as Coach Carter said, of course he's getting frustrated when we're not getting the ball to him when he's open. Of course, anybody would. But he's not letting that frustration, obviously,
right.
affect his game. So that's good. The other half of that, though, is with Mike Evans out, you can expect – and if he played – Morris Claiborne may or may not play. He's on the injury report, but I think he practiced yesterday. That's their top corner. That's what they consider their top corner. And they have had games this year where they've taken him – and they put him on the other team's best receiver if they considered him a real threat. And had Mike Evans been playing, they certainly would have put him on Mike Evans. But now Todd Monken thinks they'll probably put him on DeSean Jackson so he could follow him around. So in that regard, that doesn't mean DeSean can't beat Morris Claiborne. I'm just saying he is now going to be going against a better defensive back than he would have been. So that's maybe a little bit on the other side of that. But, yeah, I actually think this could be a good week. You know, you saw in the Arizona game, Ryan Fitzpatrick throw a really nice deep ball to Mike Evans.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think certainly he's got the capability of hitting DeSean deep. And, boy, would everybody like to see that. Because, I mean, we just can't quite seem to get there. And then one time we did, it was called back on a
penalty.
Ticky-tack penalty.
Yep.
I didn't say
you're
that.
Not, you're not bitter
that.
Or anything. All right. Our next question comes from Dominic. And he says, do you see them wanting to move Donovan Smith anywhere else on the line? Or is it left tackle or nothing?
Well, here's the thing. He's a tackle, so I don't think they're going to – well, I mean, yeah, I mean, guys have moved from tackle to guard before, so that's not crazy. But he's not going to move to right tackle, certainly not right now, because DeMar Dotson's having a good season. And if you move him to any other spot, Are you saying he's better than the guys who are playing at the two guard spots or center? I don't think the team thinks that.
Yeah, I think they were probably asking to see if it would help him because he has had a few struggles recently potentially, and so they were saying that maybe instead of having him be out there all on an island alone to move him interior.
Whenever the coaches or Jason Leonard or anybody's been asked about Donovan Smith and his career so far, they say they think he's very, very talented. They think he can be one of the best left tackles in the league, and the only thing to his game that isn't quite there yet is consistency, which is a word we're hearing about a lot of phases of the team this year.
Yeah, not just
him, for sure. So I think they still believe in him, and you know, this is a career that's developing. And so that would indicate that he's had some good weeks this season, but maybe if he's recently been getting some criticism from outside sources, that doesn't mean the team's overall plans have changed.
Right, that makes sense. Staying on the O-line here, we had a question asking, Pamphil started a ton last year and Evan Smith barely played, but now they're splitting time. Does that mean that Pamphil got worse or Evan Smith got better or a combination?
It means Evan Smith got better, and I know I took the easy choice there, obviously the one that sounds good for the Buccaneers, but that's what Coach has consistently said about this situation since August. And the thing that happened was Pamphil was slated to be the starting left guard, and Evan Smith was expected to be the main backup for the three interior spots. But Evan Smith did so well in training camp that it was felt he deserved playing time. Now, I think, you know, we had a question about this a week or two ago saying, shouldn't they have decided at this point which guy to leave in there the whole time? And there's some truth to that. I think that was the plan from the beginning. But now you can see how it actually has helped a little bit because Donovan Smith left the game. Kevin Pamphil had to move to left tackle, and Evan Smith stepped right in at left guard. And the fact they'd been playing all year probably surely must have helped him, right? Now, if for some reason Donovan Smith can't play this week or any of the weeks going forward, you've got a guy that's been playing all year. So
right.
That wasn't necessarily the goal or the plan, but it's kind of nice that it worked out that way.
Yeah, that is really interesting. Our next question says, how would you explain the inability to run the ball consistently the last couple seasons after so much success in 2015 with a lot of the same personnel?
I wish I could. I wish it doesn't make a lot of sense, and it's very, very frustrating. He's right, too. It is a lot of the same personnel. And when asked about this, the coaches always say, yeah, if we knew what one thing it was, we'd have fixed it already. And they don't think it's the talent level of the offensive linemen. They say it's execution. And you know, as they point out, most running plays, for it to work well, every guy has to do what he's supposed to do the right way and do it well. If one guy doesn't block who he's supposed to block or has a bad block or something, it's going to blow up the whole play.
Right.
Lots and lots of times. So, you know, they'll say it's not one guy. It's not like every single play that running play doesn't work is because, picking a name out of a hat, Ali Marpet's not playing well. It's just on this play, the guard did it wrong. On this play, the right tackle did it wrong, et cetera.
I really appreciate this, that Doug responded and said he wasn't even close when he tried to spell coalesce and he needed spell check to help him, which I thought was pretty great. All right, our last one that we got here. Jake wants to know, do you think any of the recent issues have anything to do with team chemistry or maybe even new free agents? Mm-hmm. Because that seems to be – team chemistry seems to be a thing that would help with the execution potentially.
Yeah, it's a good thing they have 280 characters in Twitter
these
days.
I can tell people are using this now. It's kind of great. It makes for a lot easier questions because sometimes people would send things and it would be so abbreviated trying to get it in that I was struggling trying to interpret it. So I think this is probably going to make our lives a lot easier.
The thing about chemistry, and I think most people know this, there is something to that, but it's completely unquantifiable. And I tend to think that things like, boy, this team really bonded together, or this team has great chemistry, sometimes we're confusing cause and effect here. Mm-hmm. If the Buccaneers had rushed out of the gate 5-2 or something like that this season, you'd probably be hearing about how tight the team is and how much chemistry there is.
Right.
And it can be a function of winning. And Coach Cutter was just saying out there, these guys are all very confident, each one of them in themselves. But when season goes poorly, yes, it's not that unusual for a player maybe to lose confidence in the coaches or in the scheme or in the other side of the ball. This is what Coach said. I'm not putting words in his mouth or some teammates or whatever. And the way to cure that is to play a consistent game and get a win. And so, you know, if the team could string together a couple wins, I don't think anybody would be worrying about the chemistry. I think they'd be saying we have great chemistry. So cause and effect there. But yeah, it's a valid. I know we only have a few seconds, but it's a valid point. Every time you bring in some free agents, part of making it work is making them fit, and sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't.
Right, that's a good point. All right, that's going to do it for us on this edition of Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you 75 minutes before kickoff Sunday. We hope to see all of you out there for that salute to service game against the Jets at Raymond James Stadium.